As was read this morning in Psalm 69, it speaks about, I will praise the name of God in song. I will give him thanksgiving. I will magnify him. I will glorify him. And as a matter of fact, when it says glorify, it can be translated to magnify. So we can read the verses, I will praise God's name in song and magnify him with thanksgiving. That is the mark of all true children of God, is that they desire to magnify their God, who is their salvation. We read about that in Psalm chapter 40 as well. It says, may the Lord be exalted. And in Psalm 34, oh, magnify the Lord and let us exalt his name together. Great is the Lord, and may his and greatly be praised. Psalm 48. This is the very heart cry of the Old Testament saints, and it should be for us in the New Testament, us Christians. So whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all unto the glory of God. 1 Corinthians says that. But that reminds me that after church today, we're having a potluck. So come downstairs. Don't run away right after church. We're sharing a meal together, and we're all invited to that. Just to thank you for all those who have pitched in to help with that endeavor. Yes, Luell? Oh, yeah. There's plenty of food. So don't think, I didn't bring anything, I can't come. No. We want you all to be here and enjoy that fellowship and food together. But this is the thing that we are to do. We are to magnify the Lord. If you have ever met the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and you have joined your life with his in faith, then does not your heart say, just as Paul said, it is my eager expectation and hope that I shall not be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, that Christ would be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. That's what Paul says. And as we mature in our faith, maybe someday we can say that as well. David said, I will magnify God with thanksgiving. The word magnify can actually be used in two different senses. It can mean making something appear greater than it is, as with a microscope. And I've done some microscope work before and have taught children about microscopes. But it also could mean make something that may seem small or insignificant appear to be as great as it really is. And my one analogy of that would be the stars in heaven. Think about that for a second. We look at those stars and we just see them as little tiny specks of light in the night sky. But as a matter of fact, these are giant balls of gas and stuff that are emitting incredible amount of light. See, the microscope magnifies. It takes little things and makes them bigger, makes them appear larger. But the other, a telescope, makes a big thing begin to look as big as it really is. When David says, I will magnify God with thanksgiving, he does not mean I will make a small God look bigger than he is. He means I will make a big God begin to look even bigger than he is, and he really is. We are not called to be microscopes, we are called to be telescopes. Christians are not called to be con men who magnify their product out of proportion to reality when we know that somehow the competitor's product is somehow superior to ours. No, there is nothing superior to God. And so the calling of those who love God is to make his greatness begin to look as great as it really is. We need to feel and to think and to act that to have God look as great as he really is. Be a telescope for the world that highlights the starry wealth of the glory of God. We are to be telescopes. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 1, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, they have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. It ought to be obvious, but it isn't, due to the sinful insensitivity and the forgetfulness of our hearts. many of God's greatest attributes and most awesome and loving deeds. They pass in one ear and out the other of man without the slightest ripple of emotion in their lives. We see, but we actually do not see. We hear, but we do not really hear. When our hearts are in such a condition as this, we need to beg God to open our eyes, to open our hearts, that we might know what is the riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints, and what is the immeasurable great power in us who believe. We have to believe. I was just talking to someone at the pastry shop. He used to race dragsters, and I said, it must have been quite a feeling to have all that power behind you when you're get shot down the runway, you know, of the race car. And he goes, yeah, that was. I said, well, that's like God. I said, I get all that power of God behind me. But even when God graciously moves the scales from our eyes so we can see the greatness, we are still prone straight away to forget about God's greatness and his loving acts towards us. Haven't you all experienced that, in which in one moment something happens and you jump up and down and say, wow, God is so great, he is so loving. And the next moment you're saying, you get discouraged and you have no confidence in the goodness and greatness of God. Why is that? Why do we go on that roller coaster so often? Because we are prone to forget the evidence of God's goodness, which we ourselves have experienced and which are told about in the scriptures. That is why David preaches to himself. I love that. Can you ever preach to yourself? David preached to himself. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. You know, before that, what's he saying? He says, why so downcast, O my soul? That's one of my go-to passages right there. When I get down or depressed or disillusioned, I like to go there and listen to how David preached to himself. Soul, do not forget what God has done for you. Instead, soul, do what Asaph in the Psalms does. He says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will meditate on all your works. I will consider your mighty deeds. O God, you are holy. What God is as great as you, O God? Well, the answer obviously is nobody. So we are called as Christians to be telescopes in the world. People who make the greatness of God seem as great as it really is. This is what it means for Christians to magnify God. But you can't magnify what you haven't seen. You can't magnify what you haven't experienced. Therefore, our first task is to see and to remember the greatness and goodness of God. So we pray to God, God, open my heart and my eyes. And we preach to our souls, soul, do not forget all his benefits toward us. But suppose we do see, suppose we do remember the greatness and the power and the wisdom and the mercy of God. What sort of response should we have to him then? What must the human telescope do in order to cause God as to appear as great as he really is? When we went to Hawaii, I got to go and we drove up to a mountain where it had all the famous telescopes up there. I don't even know the name of the mountain. I should know, but I don't. I'm sure somebody does here. But there was not one telescope up there. There was not two. There was not three. There was like a dozen telescopes up there. I didn't realize. I thought there was just one massive telescope. But no, all these different universities and different, you know, whether it's NASA, whoever, they all had their telescope up there. They had to peer into the heavens to see the stars. And don't we love to see those photos come back? And they maybe come up on your computer screen and you're amazed for a moment. But really, that's the handiwork of God. Let us never forget that. But what should we do? What must we do in order to magnify God? It says Psalm 69:30, answer, I will magnify God, says this, with thanksgiving. When we give thanks to him from our hearts, God is magnified. God is glorified through gratitude. through human gratitude toward him. The answer is simple. Why is God magnified by our thanksgiving to him? Well, the answer is really simple. Givers are more glorious than receivers. Benefactors are more glorious than beneficiaries. When we thank God, we acknowledge and display that he is the giver, that he is the benefactor, and we are the beneficiaries. We pay him the highest compliment. And think about maybe you're a parent and you had some children and siblings, you know, when they get angry with each other. Maybe the father or the mother will say to them, "Okay, Johnny, tell Susie thank you." And they grumble, "I don't want to say that." Or, "Susie, tell Johnny and say you're welcome." "I don't want to say that either." We're all like that sometimes. It's because saying thank you is a compliment. It magnifies people. And a sibling doesn't want to magnify their competitor, do they? "You did a good thing for me. I'm indebted to you," is what you mean when you say thank you. But when you are angry at somebody, you don't want to pay them a compliment. You want to belittle them. You don't want to magnify them. You hate to think of them as your benefactor. Therefore, when gratitude springs up in the human heart toward God, he is magnified. He is remembered as and acknowledged as the wealthy source of our blessing. He is acknowledged as the giver, the benefactor. Therefore, he is glorious. But when gratitude, and this is often the case in our lives, when gratitude does not spring out of our hearts, it probably means we don't want to pay God a compliment. We don't want to magnify him as our benefactor. And there's a very good reason that human beings by nature do not want to magnify God with thanksgiving, or they want to glorify him as our benefactor. Because why? It detracts from our own glory. And all people by nature, we love our own glory more than we love the glory of God. And Psalm 35:27 attests to this. David says, "Let those who desire my vindication shout for joy and be glad and say forevermore, the Lord be glorified or magnified." But he contrasts that with another group that says, "Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me." There is a very dividing line there, a very strong dividing line. There are only two groups of people in this world whose differences from each other have eternal significance, and that is those who want to magnify the Lord and those who want to magnify themselves. It really comes down to that. At the root of all ingratitude is the love of one's own greatness. For genuine gratitude admits that we are beneficiaries of an unearned gift. When we thank God, we say, "Thank you. You've given me a gift, God." When I think about gifts, I think about, you know, these young people here, Casey and Eliana and Elijah. They all went and did that solo ensemble thing yesterday, solo ensemble. They all scored like blue ribbons for their efforts. And I hope they never forget that God gave them a gift in that musical realm. We've all been given gifts, and we need to be thankful for them and use them to magnify God. We need to acknowledge before the Lord, we are cripples leaning on the cross. We are the paralytics living minute by minute. We are the children asleep in the heavenly stroller. We are dependent upon God. But natural man, we don't like to think of ourselves like that. We want to think of ourselves as invincible. And if we think of ourselves as being needy, well, then that's robbing our glory and giving it to God. But that's exactly where it belongs, with God. There's one interesting thing in Psalm 50 and 51 I want to bear out here, and that is that it talks about a person going to the Lord and offering. It says, "I will magnify God with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns or hooves." So basically what's happening here, someone is bringing an offering before the Lord. But guess what? Also, God says this is actually insulting to him. Why is that? For one reason, because God is the owner of all the oxes and the bulls. He says, I don't need any more of that. And if you give me that, somehow you think you're enriching me. You think you're the giver and helping me out. But I say that is, God says, that's an insult. I don't need any of that stuff. Instead, I want you to offer sacrifice of thanksgiving to me. You see, isn't it interesting that even in our religious activities, sometimes we want to be in the position of the giver. I give you this, God. But no, we cannot be the giver. We are the receiver. We must understand that. We must assume the part of the receiver because that is who we are. We are underserving. We are helpless beneficiary of God's mercy. So he says, give to me a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Acknowledge God as the giver and accept the lowly status of receiver. And that is who we are. So when David says in Psalm 51, the sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. He is simply describing the only sort of heart from which sacrifice of genuine thanksgiving can flow. Until we can soften or have the Lord soften our stiff neck and the hardness of our heart, we will never be able to offer God genuine thanksgiving. Therefore, we will never be able to offer to magnify the Lord unless we have a heart of genuine thanksgiving. The last verse in our text today is verse 32. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. What does God demand from us? His demand on us is great, but it is not that we be great. We don't have to be great. In fact, what he wants us to do is cease to be great in our own eyes and become small. He is the great one. He demands something great that we admit we are not great. It is not the well, but those who are sick who need a physician. So I beseech you by the mercies of God, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. It says that he may lift you up. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. In Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. In Psalm 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen.